Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, I mean, I won't do it. It's not like the off-season stops, you know. There's ongoing conversations. Plus, you know, the dust settles a little bit and you see where different teams are. But I really like where our group's at right now. I like it a lot. I like the look of our team. We had goals coming to this off-season, what we were trying to achieve. And then I think we're a much better team today than we were a couple days ago.
That's Sabres GM Kevin Adams. The Sabres have made another signing, as Josh just mentioned in the update.
Told you the offseason wasn't over.
And I guess not. Optimus Rhyme. James Reimer, 1 year, $1 million. It's a two-way deal. Okay, weird. Right?
Nah, I mean, it's just the guy. It's a guy at the end of his career, two-way chance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I mean, I would hope that's Rochester, because I'm definitely wanting Levi in Buffalo, and I would assume he is going to be, but... Reimer is eligible to go to Rochester, so maybe that's all this is. Just a name we know. Last year, 25 games in Detroit, a .904 save percentage. We've seen worse than that. 35 years old. 36 years old. All right, another goalie, and one that we've heard of. 803-0550 is the phone number. Adam's there. Maybe this is naive of me, and will continue to be. They have not used the Jeff Skinner money. But you've said kind of all along you think they're just kind of going to pocket it, right? Like the cap space they gained, like it's all 1 year contracts. Like Adams yesterday talking about, like, he got asked a question yesterday about like spending to the cap. And his answer was basically, well, we need to save room for young players. And he mentioned by name Quinn and Paterka and Byram, who are all up next year as RFAs, but it doesn't line up. Because all the guys they signed pretty much in the last day are one-year contracts. They have $40 million in cap space next year. You are not going to need even, maybe you will need half of that for those three players. It doesn't line up that, oh, we need to save all this money for those three guys in a year.
Yeah, like, I said from the start, I don't think they're using that $7 million. Well, maybe they are. But my guess was, rather than the $7 million in cap space they got, what they are really looking for is to save $7 million by buying out Jeff Skinner. Because
that's what
they save.
Which is what it looks like right now, right? They are fourth from the bottom in the league in cap spent as we sit here on July 2nd. Detroit, Calgary, Anaheim are the only teams that have lower cap hits right now going into the year. Cap friendly, by the way, still active. So you can still look that up. I don't know. It's, again, maybe it was naive of me. Maybe it still will be. Like, are they ever going to spend to the cap? The way he sounded yesterday about still being open to adding to the top six, I mean, if they add a top six forward, they're still not going to be near that. And I don't know, with all the one-year contracts they signed, maybe this is as much evidence as ever that they're just never going to spend near the cap until they are making money again. Or they are making, and what goes hand-in-hand with that is making the playoffs.
Well, one thing like that the Sabres, or I think a lot of people around here, sell, not that many, but that free agency is so bad. It's such a terrible thing. Paying your own players, that's fine. But free agency is bad. What would Owen Power get on the open market if he became a free agent today?
He'd get $10 million.
Yeah, on the open market, maybe.
On the open market.
The Sabres paid him 8.3.
Yep. Yeah.
How many players, if you could trade Owen Power right now for any NHL player making 8.3 or less, how many do you think you'd find?
Well, sorry, the Sabres just announced the correction. The Reimer contract's a one-way contract. Anyway,
oh,
sorry.
Oh, it's not a two-way deal.
It's two. Okay. It's a one-way contract.
Okay, so he's your backup?
I guess. He's your backup, and Levi starts the year in Rochester.
He's your new Comrie.
That's probably a better way to describe it. Doesn't mean he could get waived and go down or they figure something out. Anyway, sorry, what was the question?
I was just asking, if you could pick every NHL player making 8.3 or less, how many do you think you would take over Owen Power? I know you're not looking at like all of the players that make 8.3 or less.
Yeah.
But my point is, you know, we could talk about how these guys are bargains.
Yep.
But, you know, Power at 8.3, if you sign him as your own guy at 8.3, it's, wow, okay, it's really nicely done. He's young, and that's going to be a bargain. But for a lot of these, it's going to be a bargains. Am I not overpaying off the bat? I mean, Power to be making that kind of money now, is he making that kind of impact? Are we still waiting for that kind of impact?
I think we're waiting. Is he an eight? Right, is he worth, is his impact, if I take age out of it and just give me what the player does on the ice next year, is that worth $8.3 million? I'd probably say no. Or what we had last year. I'd probably say no. I mean, fine. He made an impact. He's not a flashy player, but...
That's right. I mean, he's not even in the top 50 paid players in the NHL. So I'm not really trying to go after Power.
Well,
what I'm getting at is when you sign your own guys to monster contracts, that's good.
Right.
If you sign someone else to big money, that's supposed to be bad.
Well, right. Like, and part of why I just... If they had made a signing like a lot of teams made yesterday where... You know, like Gensel signs for 7 years at $30 million or Stamkos at 34 for 4 years or, you know, any of these players that we probably think the Sabres can't get. If they had gone out and they had paid the guy a long-term contract at an age where you probably don't want to do it, it would have been met with, well, you're going to regret that.
Right.
How many times does that get said? And how many times do the good teams, the teams that often make these signings, actually pay for it? Because
never.
Every year... How many times is a highly paid 35-year-old guy that's not good anymore get paired with a draft pick and get sent to San Jose and he's off your books? How many times does a 35, 36-year-old guy that's at the end of his contract just get stashed on LTIR? We don't even know if the guy's actually injured. He's just kind of quasi-retired. They always get out of it. They never get punished for it. So the Sabres can't do the same thing?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
That's the thing. Like, for how many years is it... These other teams, they're going to regret that. We've watched Boston sign 8 deals they're going to regret. And then they just send Taylor Hall to Chicago because,
exactly.
Hey, 3 years for $6 million. And, they're going to regret X, Y, every single time.
Allmark. And Allmark. Was he great, but they got a first-round pick.
They got a first-round pick, right.
But that contract didn't hurt them at all.
Not at all. And there was another name I was just thinking of a minute ago. Chris Tanev in Toronto.
Yeah.
Also, when you buy a guy out who's that old, it only costs you a third of the money.
Right.
It's not two-thirds. It's one. Hey, Chris Tanev, 6 years, whatever. Okay. Oh, they're going to regret that. He's going to be 41. I'm going to guarantee they don't regret it. It's fine. They're basically – like the Tanev deal for Toronto is a little bit like an NFL deal where we're going to pay you this amount, and then at the end of it, we're going to say goodbye and eat a cap hit, and we're going to be fine with that.
Exactly. Or he's going to retire. Yep. And they know he's not going to play till 40 anyway, so they're going to get out of it that way. Boston, by the way.
I'm just trying to think of any team in the NHL that has really been so cap-strapped by bad deals that they became bad.
Well,
the Sabres took Ben Bishop off of Dallas's hands for a $5.5 million cap hit or whatever it was. That was a bad deal.
Yeah,
that's fine.
We'll just take that from you.
All these teams making these bad deals somehow remain good. Like, I'm just... I think I've got to stop being afraid of free agency if I'm any GM.
I think more and more, yeah. Tampa is a team that every year I feel like it's like, oh, wait for the shoe to drop because their cap situation is in peril and they're going to have to say goodbye to guys. And like they finally said goodbye to like Tyler Johnson. And even that took like 5 years where he was like, oh, they're going to have to trade him. They're going to have to trade him. And they never really did until finally when he wasn't even that good anymore. I'm not saying it
Luongo,
doesn't happen at all.
Luongo openly said, my contract sucks. It's untradeable. And he got traded.
Yeah. What was the what was the Ranger one that just happened? Barclay Goodrow? The Sharks just
They waved him and the Sharks picked him up.
Like, oh, yeah, we'll take this from you. You're all good. So, yeah, I'm not afraid of it. And I wouldn't want to be afraid of it in the future, which is why... Like, there was definitely jealousy yesterday for me of all these teams signing good players to contracts that I wouldn't even be that worried about had they done it. The Sabres just bought out Jeff Skinner, and that might be the most you ever pay for it on like
even
a
then.
Big contract you regret. And like, how much do we really think they're going to regret it? How much do they think they're going to pay for it? I mean,
yeah, I don't think they regret. I mean, what are they paying for? Like, they got cap space back. They saved a little bit of money. They're not up against the cap. It didn't prevent them from signing other players.
Yeah.
And that was signing their own. It was unrestricted free agency.
How much pressure is truly on Adams? Like, Friedman said weeks ago, made the comment of, they better make the playoffs this year, or like, that could be it for the GM. And maybe that's getting thrown around as an idea more and more. I don't know that they would move on him. I don't know what the Pegulas think. He's not... The typical, we hired a GM that had a good resume and background from another team, and we gave him 4 years, and it didn't work, so we fired him.
Who would they hire?
This is a guy that was working in their building for a decade that they know, that they've talked about how much they love him, and is it the same? Because I know one thing, it will be the same. If they have a slow start to the season, I bet, well, I mean, how much energy is left in the building for it to get ugly? Whatever energy is in that building, I mean... We had fire Darcy Chance once upon a time. Like, how bad could it get in that building, and how bad could it get if they start slow with the GM specifically? Because the coach isn't there anymore as a you know, lightning rod.
It's a good question.
803-0550.
The fire chance, I mean...
Fire Granato chance for one night last year.
And the players got mad.
And the players got really mad. Will they get mad this year?
They did fire him.
Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. What's up, Rob?
Good morning, gentlemen. First off, Jeremy, congratulations on the new addition to the fam. You're going to need a bigger bounce house now, right?
I know. Well, she won't be in a bounce house for a while, so we've got a little bit of a good wait on that.
So here's a two-parter. Sabres, question for you guys. Out of the players that we have signed, or I should say the Buffalo Sabres have signed, which one do you like the most, and how apprehensive are you feeling about the upcoming season with the Sabres? And also, as far as the Bills, I think they're going to use Davis as more, you know, he's going to be a running back, of course, but I think they're going to utilize him as far as like little checkdowns. He might be more shorthanded than Cook. So that's my outlook on as far as the Bills. But I'm more curious to see what about the apprehensiveness, because I'm feeling a little apprehensive about the Sabres this year. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rob.
I don't have any emotion about any of their signings. I mean, it's fine.
They agree.
They swap out their bottom six. That's fine. I mean, it's if they play a more inspiring style or more fun to watch because of how they look, then that's great. But there's I mean, I can't tell you. I had an opinion on the Beck guy or anybody, really. I mean, Abe Kubel, I've heard of him. I don't think there's anybody worth really having a reaction
to. There's no one worth getting excited about. I don't think.
No, and that's fine. Like, you don't have to do that. It's, to me, their big move of the offseason is Lindy. And if Lindy's going to do the job. I thought of a good question that you would appreciate.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Bills get the one seed. Oh, Sabres make the playoffs. Which is more likely? Allen wins MVP or Ruff wins Coach of the Year?
Allen wins MVP or Ruff wins Coach of the Year.
If the Bills make the one seed and the Sabres make the playoffs, which primary driver of that is the most likely to win the big award?
That's a good question. I feel like I have a pretty strong opinion, though, on it, that it Allen's more likely. Allen, I don't know if I can – the way their offseason's gone and the way Diggs got traded,
yeah.
If they have the one seed, Allen is winning MVP 10 times out of 10, right?
That's probably right. The one seed quarterback wins it all the time. Lamar just did.
Yep, he did.
That's all right.
Without even like the MVP level numbers that you generally expect, he still won it.
What's the right comparison to make, though? Because I think if they make the playoffs, we're talking Lindy for Jack Adams.
I think you're almost definitely right. Like, what would it take for him to not win it? Like, someone that's more surprising than them?
He's at least a finalist. He's at least a finalist. He's
for sure.
Known around the league. He's respected. If the Sabres are a playoff team, it would not be a big stretch at all to say, hey, the drought ended and Lindy did it, the storyline of it, the way the NHL voters vote. Like, I feel like it's a Jack Adams level job for Lindy to get this team to the playoffs. And
I do agree with that.
Like, that's what I think would come of it.
I think in most circumstances, they make the playoffs. He wins Coach of the Year. I would bet in most circumstances. Like 2 years ago, he was a finalist for the Devils, and they had a similar, you know, bad team where they have 60 points the year before, 63 points, and they went to 112. So 50-point jump. No one probably expected you to do that. You did it. He was a finalist. What did it take for him to not win Coach of the Year? It took the Bruins having the greatest regular season in NHL history. That's what it took, and their coach won. So most circumstances, I think he probably wins. He really – I don't know that I like where we've ended up with that, though. Like, I'm fine. Like, I liked Lindy coming back. I liked the idea of it even beyond just the emotion of, oh, cool, Lindy's back. But the coach – Is the thing that's going to have me jump 20 points in the standings? That's the sole reason or the biggest reason why I'm going to jump like that? I mean, I know Don Granato was not perfect, and there was a lot of talk of accountability at the end of the season, but it's that much of a jump? I have a hard time believing that the player movement and the changes in the roster are not the more impactful thing on your team. And I think they've gotten worse in the top six. I think they've gotten worse at center with Mittelstadt leaving from 60 games and replacing him with, I guess it's just Peyton Krebs, or I'm crossing my fingers and praying Matt Savoy's ready to play center for me on the third line. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm praying that the 19-year-old is going to show up and be their third line center.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kurt in Hamburg. What's up, Kurt?
These are some huge asks. Hey, I'm going to regress here for a second, then I'm going to go back to my point. Allen versus Ruff, holy mackerel, because of, you know, Allen beating Mahomes versus the 13-year drought ending with Lindy. I mean, that's very interesting there. So, but I just feel now this Reimer thing, I'm scared. Me and my buddy Rick, he's out in Virginia, he listens to you on Odyssey. We're going back and forth for every transaction yesterday. We're like, who is this? What is this? What is this? Because we did lose Mittelstadt, we did lose Skinner, and this is our choices, but we need that shoe to drop. And now we see Reimer getting signed. This smells like Limburger cheese, guys. It tells me that UPL might not sign. That's what
I wouldn't worry about that. UPL's an RFA. He doesn't have any options.
What if somebody gives him a contract and then we're stuck with more draft choices? I think it's a bigger picture.
Offer sheet?
It just scares me. Yes.
No, it's not. They have the space. They would just match. No one's going to offer sheet Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen on 1 year. They'll just get a deal done there.
Yeah. I mean, man, it would be something, though. If someone thought they could take advantage of what? I mean, how would you...
Do you want to know the offer sheet compensation? Like, what's the number on what Lukanen's going to get?
Yeah. The number, I mean, I might guess like $5 million a year.
Okay, that's a first and a third round pick.
They're not matching that. If I'm a team that like really wants to get, do I think I can take advantage of Kevin Adams? Is that the way I'm going about this? How do I do that? I mean, do I offer him what's the next tier above that?
$6.9 million.
Okay, so I offer Lukanen $7 million a year, and then I got to give up what?
A first, a second, and a third. What NHL team is bad enough to give up a first, a second, a third, and a $7 million contract to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who has had a really rock-solid 50 games?
Yeah. It's not right. It's not realistic. On a team that has $20 million in cap space still, by the way. Who are the teams that, in the very, very rare instances, we see offer sheets, who generally gets taken advantage of? It's the team that's right up against the cap. Or, well, I guess what did the Flyers do to Nashville? They tried to get Shea Weber by saying, we don't think you can pay the dollars up front. So does someone try to do that? Hey, we're going to get Luke in and we're going to give you all the money in the first 2 years because we don't think the Pagulas are going to pay the money.
Yeah, would they take a first and a third?
Instead of saying, what do we do? We either get a first, second, or third, or we have to give Luukkonen a ton of money in the first 24 months of the contract.
Listen.
I don't know.
If you've listened to this show for any period of time over the last 20 years, I think offer sheets should be standard practice throughout the league. Yep. July 1st should not just be a free agency frenzy. It should be an offer sheet frenzy. Of course you should sign these restricted free agents. It's done a little bit more. We've had a couple. There should be 10 signed every year, offer sheets. The NBA, of course, has offer sheets. The NFL has offer sheets that get signed and players that get moved. So, yeah, sure, a team should do it and push the Sabres on Luukkonen. I don't know if you should give up a first and a third for Luukkonen, but if you believed he was good, then yes, that should definitely happen, but I certainly don't expect it. There are probably 30 RFAs right now worthy of offer sheets that should be signed, and teams just won't do it.
Yep. They don't want to offend. Or retribution.
Braden Point way back when. Kucherov was able to sign with Tampa for $4.6 million like 8 years ago because no one would do it.
Yeah.
Tampa won cups because GMs didn't even want to.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Challenged Steve Yzerman. It would have been rude.
It would have been rude to Steve Yzerman. Yeah.
I got to make sure Steve likes me. Yeah. I got to be friends with that guy. He'll be mad at me.
I mean, are they not in? If ever a team was going to do it, aren't you desperate? Don't you want to act desperate?
Should the Sabres do it?
You can't.
Sure.
You can't. I mean, you got to get the player to sign, right? But you can't figure out a way to get your top six forward, potentially. Exhaust all avenues. You're desperate for it. Maybe you think you've got a year to prove that you're worth this job or you're out. How do you not have it be a consideration? They don't really exist. Because if they did exist, if they were real, if offer sheets were like a real consideration for teams, the Sabres in the position they're in right now would be all over that. And they're not, because they're not real. Like, who are the RFAs right now? I don't even want to look at the list. It's going to just depress me. Let's go to Mike on a cell. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I understand your frustration, and it boggles my mind that we keep... I mean, just look at the Pegulas for a second. And, you know, they came in with the Bills, and they... You know, Doug Whaley and Rex Ryan, they get lucky with McDermott, who hires Bean, and that franchise has been good. Lucky. You look at what they've done with the Sabres, from keeping Darcy and Lindy to hiring LaFontaine, who quits after 2 weeks because he can't stand the system with Tim Murray. You go to Bylsma, you go to Botterill, you go to Housley, you go to every guy, and then you end up with a guy that's running a rink for a number of years. And it's hiring inexperienced people and hoping that they get lucky again like they did with McDermott and Bean. And that's what their modus operandi is. And, you know, they're not spending money. What bothered me most about the last 2 days is we need trades. Picking up these free agents just blocks the 5 or 6 prospects that you have. I mean, think about this team. If we had picked up these guys last year, would Paterka have even had a chance to play? He had a chance to play last year because there was nobody around, and he ends up scoring 30 goals. We didn't think Paterka was going to score 30 goals last year. We were hoping a guy, he's coming up from Rochester. Maybe he gets 10, maybe he gets 15. But when you give some of these young guys a chance, sometimes they score. He is so afraid to trade one of his prospects because he doesn't know which of the prospects is really good. He's afraid he's going to trade the good guy and keep the guy that's not as good. And so he keeps 5, 6, 7 good prospects. You're talking about moving Savoy in as maybe your third, as your center on the second line. They just came out and said that one of the reasons they drafted the kid that they did the other day in the first round is because they don't think Savoy can be an NHL center. He's more suited for the wing. They are clueless, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for the call. I mean, their young players are going to have opportunities this summer, aren't they?
You would hope. I mean, I saw Lance Lysowski, Buffalo News, like you were talking about the experience, exercise of writing out the lines, and none of the Rochester guys were in. Right. And how many years deep are we into that 3 first-round picks where it was Kulik, Rosanne, and Oslund, and none of them are going to be here even this year.
Right.
And Savoy exists, and Benson jumped them all. And, you know, like this prospect pipeline.
Yeah.
At the risk of going back to the tank, the whole idea was you'll never win anything without great players. And right now, their focus is, understandably, on filling in the bottom. The season is a lot of fire and fury, and all we really need this team to do is to see Tage and Cousins be great players again. They were for 1 year, and they almost made the playoffs with terrible goaltending. So they need their great players to be great. They weren't last year by their own standard that they had set the year before.
Yeah.
So we can all sit here and yell about Abe Kubel and whatever on the fourth line. Teams don't win cups with the fourth line. People like to say they do. They don't. Why did the Panthers win the Stanley Cup? They won the Stanley Cup because of guys like Tkachuk and Reinhardt. And Carter Verhaeghe's a good name here, by the way. He was picked up in free agency. They won it because of Bobrovsky, a $10 million free agent. They won it because of Montour.
They won it because Forsling turned into an amazing defenseman.
That's right.
Top pair.
Top guys. And why was Edmonton in the Cup final? Because of guys like McDavid and Dreisaitl and Hyman. It was their top line. They got to the Stanley Cup with a top line. And how did Vegas do it with Stone and Eichel and Marchessault? And, your top guys are there, and you want the rest of the lineup to not ruin you. And it's been a battle of trying to get the Sabres to match those two things together. So maybe this year, I sense frustration and feel frustration. And somebody write to me like, I need a rant today. I don't need rants. I'm not mad at them. I'm just waiting for it to finally come together one time where, okay, now you're building the bottom. Great. That'll look great if the top gets back to being the top.
Yeah.
That's what you need. And they have taken a little bit away from their top with Skinner gone. But if Quinn and Peterka, I think those two are fantastic players.
I do too. Yeah.
Put it all together. Lukanen's fine. Tage is fine. And Lindy coaches them up. I see no reason they can't make the playoffs other than, you know, the other teams try to get good at the same time too. And they've been waiting so long for this. All these moves were probably due last year. This fourth line on last year's team, right? Like, so anyway, put it all together someday.
Or
someday.
Two years ago?
Two years ago.
The team that is third in the league in scoring with this fourth line, I mean, it's they're probably 1 point better, right?
Yeah.
They're probably at least 1 point better. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you when we come back. We're going through it on the Sabres right now.
Also, we should start thinking about how the Bills are going to host the NFL draft because Washington's plans are starting to come into focus. Did you see that story?
I did not, no.
Yep. Well, Washington wants to host it in 2027. Let's just say we would have a tough follow-up in 2028.
Okay, interesting. We'll get to that. Also, Kyle Okposo was on Spit and Chicklets today. I'm going to dive through that and see if anything interesting came of that. I'm sure mostly that was about the Cup, but it's Buffalo days too. 803-0550 is the phone number. Again, if you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. It's Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR.
Clarification for everybody on the James Reimer signing for the Sabres. It's a one-way deal. All that means is he gets $1 million in Buffalo or Rochester, which kind of gets to a point here that the Sabres on free agency and the cap and spending money, they've had money in Rochester these last couple of years.
Yeah.
And Reimer, if he's down in Rochester, would be another $1 million in Rochester. So he's making 1 year, $1 million. He would have to clear waivers to go to Roch. Maybe he would. Maybe he wouldn't. He's $1 million goalie. So he's the new Comrie. Although they never waived Comrie. Comrie's back in Winnipeg.
Well, they did during the season. Right?
Oh, that's right.
They did during the season. They needed to do that send him down.
Because Lukanen had showed up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And when they sent Levi down, they did, well, they went back. All right, so 1 year contract for Reimer. I gotta believe Levi is gonna be their number two goaltender. I don't know what else there is for him to do in Rochester. He was the best goalie in the AHL for 5 months and was amazing in the playoffs. He was making like 50 save performances after being the best college goalie ever. And his advanced numbers in the NHL were actually pretty good. They're even in some places really good. Like Money Puck is one site where he was like top 10. I don't know if he was that good because a lot of the other sites he was more closer, like just above average. But some of those advanced numbers said he had, I'm trying to remember the exact stat it was, but one of the numbers that kind of shows like, okay, how hard was your assignment in goal? And but like on the shots you face, chances per minute you're in the net, whatever it was, he had like the second toughest assignment in the league last year.
Mm, okay.
Like they were good defensively when Lukanen was in goal, and then when Levi was in net, they were horrible for whatever reason, maybe complete coincidence. So I don't know why it would make any sense for him to be in Rochester again, other than just, I guess you just want him to play more games there. How many games is Lukanen going to play this year?
50.
All right. 32 games isn't enough for him to be in Buffalo? I got to put Reimer up here because 32 games
maybe
isn't enough?
I might want him playing more than 32.
All right. You also can send him back and forth.
Yeah, I'm in for a couple hours tomorrow, and then I'm on vacation. Listen, there's good news. Well, not vacation, but
I was going to say
parental leave.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, whatever.
It's a vacation in some
I'm
sense.
Really going to take a run at Big Things Happen when I'm away. Wow. I got a good stretch here.
Yeah.
Any big Sabres trade could happen.
Yeah.
Between the 4th and the 24th. I'm just saying. Big window here.
Watch an offer sheet happen while you're
big
away.
Opportunity.
They're going to offer sheet Nietzsche's.
The Sabres trade for Dreisaitl.
What's the score to beat all time? Does Howard have like
the biggest thing?
The biggest thing. Because for me, it was... For me, my top is definitely the day that they cut everybody. Poyer and Trey White and...
Howard was gone for Mario Williams.
He was?
Yeah.
Like
that's pretty big.
Like, not just the day he signed, but like the build-up to
week.
The days before?
Yeah,
like
yes. Howard was away for the whole Mario Williams, yeah.
Oh, man, that's a legendary week to miss.
I missed a bunch of Sabres coaches getting fired. Every time I took
Which
a day
ones?
Off or
Kruger?
A week off, I was away for, I believe, Kruger and definitely Housley. And rough for the day.
I bet you came in for the Kruger.
I was in Vegas when Housley got fired. I remember that. I was in Vegas.
Yeah. I bet you came in for the Kruger one.
Maybe.
Steve in DePew's next. What's up, Steve?
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. Who do you find to replace Skinner in his 25 to 40 goals a year, even though he might be a defensive liability? And additionally to that, how in God's name can you think Byram's anywhere close to the upside is Mittelstadt? That was a really bonehead move because Byram had one good game while he was in Buffalo.
Thanks, Steve. It was more. Every game he played with Dahlin, except one. There was one game that I think was one of these games Jeremy mentioned for, like, to get within 1 point of the playoffs or something, that they got steamrolled and they were terrible together. And then they got split up. Before that, it was like a 5-6 game stretch, maybe. Byram was good with Dahlin. He was like the worst defenseman in the league when he played with Joki Haru. But I don't know. How much pressure is on him to perform? Like, that's at the moment still Adam's biggest trade. And Mittelstadt was really good for Colorado. They just signed him to a big money deal. So listen, he's got concussion history and he's super talented. I don't think he's going to play with Joki Haru again. I think he's probably Power. He's in the top four, so everyone's healthy. It's Samuelson, Power, Dahlin. I don't know. I have no idea how good he is, though. I feel like going into the season, Byram, I've got no earthly idea how good he is. Maybe he's great. 803-0550 is the phone number. Extendo Sports, when we come back, Jeremy's got to duck out. I'm at a point, I've been listening to this Kyle Okposo Spit and Chicklets interview today, and right where I left off, he's getting asked about how he and Reinhart won the cup, and O'Reilly won the cup before that, and Eichel won the cup as well. So very curious to hear what Okposo had to say on that. Maybe we'll run that back for you, or at least tell you what he said. Also, I've got a couple more minutes in Extendo to rant on how it is 9:43 a.m., and Greg Berhalter is still the manager of the United States men's national team in soccer. 9:43. You want to know how obsessed I am with him getting canned here by Team USA? I know for a fact, I've looked this up, it's 1,020,447 minutes until the 2026 World Cup. And every minute he is the manager is wasted. The Okposo comment when we come back. I think it's going to be good. I feel like I have a sense it's going to be good. Stay tuned. It's WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, so I listened to the Okposo interview on Spit and Chicklets. Paul Bissonnette. Ryan Whitney. He didn't really get into what I thought he would as much as I wanted. He did said some nice things about Buffalo. He said he believes they're going to get it done, that they're going to figure it out. He told the story of how him and Reinhart had talked the week before he got traded to Florida and how close he is with Reinhart. And I mean, those two, I mean, he the story he told, like, tight. And I think we knew that already, though. Like, Okposo, really what I wanted him to expand on in this interview, that he started to go down, but then he kind of stopped, and he started to go down on, like, you know, talking about Buffalo as a hockey city. He was about to start talking about how, like, he made a comment of, you know, players can get labeled not being dogs because they don't have playoff success. And I think that was him starting to go down the rabbit hole. They had just brought up O'Reilly and Eichel and Reinhart together. And it felt like Okposo was about to really dispute that idea, that those guys couldn't get it done together. But then he stopped. So we didn't really have that comment for you. What else did he have to say in there? Greg Berhalter is still the U.S. manager at 9:51. 9:51. We're still here. Here's a get into some a little bit nerdier soccer talk here. Just a little bit, not much. Here's all you need to know about why Greg Berhalter, the U.S. manager, I'm so obsessed with him no longer being the United States manager. Not only has he been the manager for 6 years, and he's never... Chris Whittingham, who does play-by-play for MLS and does sports talk down in Miami for Apple TV, he tweeted yesterday, in 6 years, Berhalter has never won a game that he wasn't supposed to win. That's a long time for that. You play your Uruguays even, not even your Brazils, Netherlands, Argentina. Who, in 6 years, not one time have you ever won a game you weren't supposed to win. His record against top 20 teams, he has a 7% win percentage. And they're all against Mexico, except for one that's against Iran, who barely squeaks in the top 20. Never beats good teams. Three shots on goal yesterday. No chances being created. So that's part of it. More than that, the resume. The guy should have never been the U.S.'s manager in the first place. What's the standard? All the players play in Europe now. The player standard's been risen. They've all made it deeper into their careers than other guys from before at that program. And your neighbor to the north, who has less talent, Canada's men's national soccer team has less talent than the U.S. And by a good amount, I would say. Here's the manager. Here's Greg Berhalter, U.S. manager's resume. Columbus Crew, MLS, as the manager. 33% win percentage. Okay? And before that, he was the manager of a Swedish team for 2 years. That's it. Swedish team for 2 years, and then MLS team for 4 years, we had a 33% win percentage. Here's the resume of the manager of the Canadian team. Ready? 2 years in the MLS for Montreal, 57% win percentage. Then 3 years for the New York Red Bull, so other MLS. Then 3 years in the Bundesliga for Red Bull Salzburg. Then another year in the Bundesliga, the German league, which is way higher level than the MLS. 4 years in the Bundesliga, then 2 more years in the English Premier League, then Canada. How is that possible? How is it possible that the Canadian soccer team has a guy that coached in the Bundesliga in Germany for 3 years, 4 years, then the Premier League for 2 years, and then they got him? And the MLS or the US has a bad MLS coach. He shouldn't have been the guy in the first place. 954, he still has his job. 2 years to go until the World Cup. 1,020,000 minutes. It is one of the, again, biggest disgrace next to not making the World Cup 7 years ago, however long that was. Biggest disgrace of this program. It's the most talented group of players they've ever had. Sure, they have to be better and they have to get it done too, but I feel like they are being held back a lot by the guy that's in charge. All right. James Reimer to the Sabres, if you missed that. 1 year, $1 million. I will be floored if Levi doesn't start the year in Buffalo. It will make no sense to me if he doesn't. 32, 35 games. Luukkonen gets 50. I think that's the perfect split between the two. Football tonight, Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks, you say? It's not training camp. Off-season Hard Knocks. Never seen that before. The Giants... Off-season Hard Knocks is going to start tonight on HBO. So we'll see. That might be interesting because you get Joe Shane, former Bills assistant GM, and Brian Daboll, the head coach, obviously. So if you're looking for something to watch tonight, that's on HBO, and you got some former Buffalo guys that are going to be, I'm sure, very prominently featured. All right, that's it for us. Be back tomorrow. We'll see if we get anything else from the Sabres. Not crossing, or I'm not banking on it, but we'll see. Stay tuned. Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio is on the way next. If you want to get in your thoughts, line them up on the phones, 803-0550, and Sal will run through them. So stay tuned, and I'll talk to you tomorrow here on WGR.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What else did he have to say in there? Greg Berhalter is still the U.S. manager at 9:51. 9:51. We're still here. Here's a get into some a little bit nerdier soccer talk here. Just a little bit, not much. Here's all you need to know about why Greg Berhalter, the U.S. manager, I'm so obsessed with him no longer being the United States manager. Not only has he been the manager for 6 years, and he's never... Chris Whittingham, who does play-by-play for MLS and does sports talk down in Miami for Apple TV, he tweeted yesterday, in 6 years, Berhalter has never won a game that he wasn't supposed to win. That's a long time for that. You play your Uruguays even, not even your Brazils, Netherlands, Argentina, who in 6 years, not one time have you ever won a game you weren't supposed to win. His record against top 20 teams, he has a 7% win percentage. And they're all against Mexico, except for one that's against Iran, who barely squeaks in the top 20. Never beats good teams. 3 shots on goal yesterday. No chances being created. So that's part of it. More than that, the resume. The guy should have never been the U.S.'s manager in the first place. What's the standard? All the players play in Europe now. The player standard's been risen. They've all made it deeper into their careers than other guys from before at that program. And your neighbor to the north, who has less talent, Canada's men's national soccer team has less talent than the U.S. And by a good amount, I would say. Here's the manager. Here's Greg Berhalter, U.S. manager's resume. Columbus Crew, MLS, as the manager. 33% win percentage. Okay? And before that, he was the manager of a Swedish team for 2 years. That's it. Swedish team for 2 years, and then MLS team for 4 years. We had a 33% win percentage. Here's the resume of the manager of the Canadian team. Ready? 2 years in the MLS for Montreal. 57% win percentage. Then 3 years for the New York Red Bull. So other MLS. Then 3 years in the Bundesliga for Red Bull Salzburg. Then another year in the Bundesliga, the German league, which is way higher level than the MLS. 4 years in the Bundesliga. Then 2 more years in the English Premier League. Then Canada. How is that possible? How is it possible that the Canadian soccer team has a guy that coached in the Bundesliga in Germany for 3 years, 4 years, then the Premier League for 2 years, and then they got him. And the MLS, or the U.S., has a bad MLS coach. He shouldn't have been the guy in the first place. 954, he still has his job. 2 years to go until the World Cup. 1,020,000. It is one of the, again, biggest disgrace next to not making the World Cup 7 years ago, however long that was. Biggest disgrace of this program. It's the most talented group of players they've ever had. Sure, they have to be better and they have to get it done too, but I feel like they are being held back a lot by the guy that's in charge. All right. James Reimer to the Sabres, if you missed that. 1 year, $1 million. I will be floored if Levi doesn't start the year in Buffalo. It will make no sense to me if he doesn't. 32, 35 games. Lukanen gets 50. I think that's the perfect split between the two. Football tonight, Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks, you say? It's not training camp. Off-season Hard Knocks. Never seen that before. The Giants... Off-season Hard Knocks is going to start tonight on HBO. So we'll see. That might be interesting because you get Joe Shane, former Bills assistant GM, and Brian Daboll, the head coach, obviously. So if you're looking for something to watch tonight, that's on HBO, and you got some former Buffalo guys that are going to be, I'm sure, very prominently featured. All right, that's it for us. Be back tomorrow. We'll see if we get anything else from the Sabres. Not crossing, or I'm not banking on it, but we'll see. Stay tuned. Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio is on the way next. If you want to get in your thoughts, line them up on the phones, 803-0550, and Sal will run through them. So stay tuned, and I'll talk to you tomorrow here on WGR.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.